My name's Evan, and I'm the lead pastor of this church. Hello, everybody. Welcome to church. We love getting together every time we gather on Sundays. We love being here and in this place and doing what we're doing, but especially Baptism Sundays. Hey, anyone love Baptism Sundays? I don't know if you heard it at the beginning of the service, but so far today we have 20 people signed up to be baptized. Come on, that is awesome. 20 people gonna get baptized today. And just so you know, also when we do Baptism Sundays, we also invite anyone else who wants to make that decision or who has made that decision and not been baptized, whoever wants to follow Jesus and hasn't been baptized, we open it up. So who knows, by the end of this day, maybe we got 30 people being baptized on this Sunday, and it would just be incredible. It's good to be part of that together. But I think sometimes Baptism Sunday, people come out and maybe some family are here to support someone. You're here as a guest. You've never been to church, maybe. Maybe you've never been to a baptism service. You don't understand why we do that. Like, why do they have this scary, I don't know about you, but during worship, you know, you got Phil over here playing bass and Sandy's up here. Like, please don't step backwards or sideways or anything. Got like this trap door all of a sudden on the stage. Maybe you didn't know we had that, actually, and it's kind of cool when all of a sudden it's like, what? We've got it's like Tough Mudder. We can play with that thing. It's probably filled with ice and be awesome. But you sort of look at it like, what is this all about? What's the baptism tank all about? What's the purpose of it? I remember when I was a young guy growing up at the church I grew up in, and our baptism tank was a little more advanced than this one. You'd go down these back stairways and you'd move your way on into this tank that part of it was glass, so you could actually see into the water from the glass. Like, whew, we could get a sweet upgrade on this one. But I remember my pastor one time came in, and this was the first memory I have of baptisms. He snuck in one Sunday. He wanted to promote baptisms. And usually when I promote baptisms, it's like I talk from the Bible and push, you know, this is a decision and we should do it. But he decided to put on his swim trunks and water wings. And he all of a sudden pops up in the middle of the service, and he's like in his goggles. He's got his goggles peeking through the glass. He's got his water wings on, and he's like wearing no shirt. He's got like shorts on. I'm like, what is he doing? And he's like, and someone comes over to him with a microphone, not too close because that's scary. And he goes, his baptism's coming up next week. And some people cheered and some people were like, are you kidding me? This is how you promote baptisms? And that was the first time I realized, like, I heard people saying, I can't believe the pastor did that. Like, that's, he can't mock baptism like that. And that was the first time I sort of remember baptism for myself. Was this idea that my pastor would be kind of goofy and silly and excited about it, and people would be extremely offended. For I knew someone must think this is really important. Someone must think this is something really valuable, a really key part of the Christian journey, a really key part of our decision, of our faith, of our process in growing with Jesus. And so but then I didn't really know why. And I assume that there are other people in the room that don't really know why. What is this? Is this just the moment where, you know, you sort of get clean? You know, haven't washed off your sins yet. You haven't washed off your guilt and shame yet. So you get in the water and then it's just, finally I'm clean and better and happy now. Is this just how we do our good religious practice? Like, well, I read my Bible and well, I pray and I show up to church. And so probably my next step in doing good things for Jesus is just getting baptized. Or what is this? What's baptism all about? And Paul talks about it in the Bible. Paul is this guy who's radically changed by Jesus. He's rocked. He was totally against Jesus, and he becomes totally for Jesus to the point where he actually dies for Jesus. And Jesus has come to the earth not long before Paul starts his ministry. And when Jesus showed up, he landed in this earth where everyone who was religious, everyone who was following God, made it all about a whole bunch of rules and regulations, about laws. And they decided that the most righteous and the most religious and the best people and the people who should be most honored were those who followed the rules best. If you follow all the rules and follow all the laws, then you're set up. Then you're the right people. Everyone should look up to you. And in fact, you should be allowed to look down at everyone else if you follow all the rules. And then Jesus shows up. He kind of shuffles the deck and he changes it all and says, well, actually, I'm the pure, spotless bride, or I'm the pure and spotless sacrifice to be given to God for all of your sins. And so the Bible teaches and Paul teaches that actually Jesus came and while we were still sinners, he died for us. And so then what do we do? Because people went from this world where we said, well, we follow all of these rules and all of these laws and all of this stuff. And if you're good and religious, then that's when you're going to be the best people. And then Jesus said, yeah, but I died for all of you. And the sins have now been crushed by my death. And then he was resurrected. And so now everyone's saying, well, then do our sins matter at all? Like, are we just living in grace over here at that point? Do we just not need to worry about the things that we do that are bad or negative? If we're not living in this world of law and of following the law and following the rules and becoming holy because of that, then do they matter at all? Maybe we should live in this camp and not worry about anything that we do and just say, his grace covers us. I can live however I want and do whatever I want and behave however I want and believe whatever I want. And if it feels right, do it. Should we just live in that camp and be just happy because God has given us grace? And Paul shows up into that conversation and he inserts the reminder about baptism. What is it? And here's what he says. What shall we say then in Romans 6, 1 to 11? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? So he's saying, maybe if we sin them, he's just finished saying that the more we sin, the more grace there is. And so should we just keep sinning so that we see grace more? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. See, some people are living in a camp before Jesus, where sin reigned, and if you can just eliminate sin in your life and lower sin in your life and do better, then you're probably holy. And some people are living in a camp post-Jesus, where now he's resurrected from the dead and grace has covered us and we're good and we can live however we want. And so they're kind of living in this two worlds. But Paul says you're missing the in-between, that where sin, from the place where sin reigned to the place where grace reigned, first there was a death. And death is in between. That Jesus doesn't resurrect from the dead and offer us life without dying and killing our sin. And so baptism, Paul says, is our way of identifying with that, our way of walking in that. He says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? See, Jesus came and died and killed all of the sin that might separate you and me from God. Anything that is in us is killed on the cross. Anything that might call us to, that might tempt us, any sinful desires, any sinful nature, anything that we might do that might lead us in that other direction, we can give it all to Jesus. He took it to the cross and he killed it. It's all good for us, except we have to receive that. We have to receive his love for us. We have to receive what he did on the cross. We need to accept it and allow it to take over our lives. Well, how do we allow what he did on the cross? How do we receive all that he accomplished on the cross in our lives? How do we receive all that he achieved in death? We receive it by dying, is what Paul is saying. Physical death? Probably not. Most of us probably not. But Paul says you can't receive the life that Jesus had until you put to death the old life you were living, the way you used to live, the way you used to live your life. Yeah, but couldn't I just try to do some things differently or grab some Jesus or put some grace in my life? Couldn't I just sprinkle some grace in my life? And Jesus, or Paul here is saying, no, that's not how it works. It doesn't go just from living in sin to living in grace. It goes from living in sin and putting that to death so you can receive this life and experience it. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is the recognition and the fulfillment, the sign that someone has made that choice to put to death their old ways so they can receive life, and life more abundantly, life to the full, not stuck in the ways that we were. Here he keeps going. He says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. A new life. See, baptism is not about becoming a better you, but becoming entirely new. It's not about just like, my next step in religiousness, but it's about saying, I am a new creation. I am totally new. I don't have to be stuck pursuing the same things. I don't have to be stuck in the same mentality that has continued to drive the way I behave. I don't have to be stuck there anymore. I can walk in freedom. I'm new. I'm a new life. I've put to death the old way, and I've received Jesus Christ and his work on the cross that sets me free to live the way he's called me to live. Until we do that, we're going to be stuck here. We're just going to be either in our sin, which leads to punishment, or our sin, which leads to grace. And Jesus says, no, I want to actually put to death that whole idea. I want to put to death your old way of thinking and allow you to walk in a new life that is full of my grace for you. But first you have to identify with my death. And so people who are getting baptized have made the decision, Jesus, I want to put to death my old life so I can live anew in you. And baptism is just, it's not spiritual in itself, but it represents the spiritual work that has happened in your heart. Because baptism is not about becoming a better you, but becoming entirely new. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died in Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on, we're alive because of Christ Jesus. We're alive because of what he did. And so, sometimes we get this idea that life just comes for free. Life didn't come for free for Jesus, and it doesn't come for free for us. He's given us a free gift. Everyone can have it. You can all have life in Jesus Christ. You can all have his forgiveness. You can all have his grace. He's already made it available for you. It's already ready for you. But if you want to receive it, you need to put away your old self and allow it to die in the grave, just as Jesus killed all of your sins in the grave, so that you can receive his life. And that's what baptism is all about. That's what we're identifying with here. You know, there's a pretty famous Christian theologian named Eugene Peterson, and he wrote the Message version of the Bible. But basically, much of his life was devoted to trying to allow the Bible to be understandable to people, that people might be able to understand what it was that the Bible said and what it was that we're supposed to get from this thing. So I want to read his version of the exact same thing that I just read. I think maybe it makes it clearer for some of you. He says, so what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. We came up out of the water. We entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. Come on. Someone say amen to that. Amen. A new life in a new land. Who wants a new life in a new land? Who wants to be in a new land where they don't have to be stuck under sin and under the law and under the rules and be stuck in a place where they're not sure if they're good enough and they're not sure if they're proper enough. They're not sure if they're accepted. They're not sure if they're doing the right things. Who wants to live in a new land where they can recognize that they're loved and cherished and valued and that they get to walk in freedom with Jesus Christ, where they have purpose and they have destiny and they have eternal hope in them. They have joy in challenging situations and peace in tumultuous times. Who wants to live in the new land where death no longer reigns? Jesus put death to death once and for all, and we receive it by saying, my old self, that old land I lived in, can die so I can go live in the new land, a new life, a new hope. That's why baptisms are the most exciting thing for us around this church, because people come out into the new life, the new land. And they get to see with new eyes the world that they've always lived in. They get to show up and say, what? There's purpose here. I don't have to be stuck anymore. I can see anew. Worship team, you can come and join me. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. I don't know if you've ever felt like you've been at sin's every beck and call. Been stuck doing the things that you wish you couldn't do, that you wish you weren't doing, trying to walk in a freedom that you haven't yet known. Being at every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Isn't that a good line? Was the end of death as the end. Jesus put to death the idea that death is the end. He killed that idea. Some of us are stuck thinking that death is the end of everything. Jesus says, no, actually, I'll kill that concept. Death has no more mastery over you. I want you to know life, but you have to put to death death first. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. So today, some people have decided to do just that. Somewhere along their journey, they decided to put an end to the cycle of death in their life so that they could know new life in Jesus Christ. And today they want to make that decision public. Maybe they have in different ways along the way, but today more than ever they're going to represent the recognition that Jesus came and he came to break off the power of sin in our lives that required his death. And when he did that, he broke death by rising from the dead and offering us life. And for us to receive that, we then say, I want to put to death what my old ways and my old patterns and the way I used to live so I can know the life of Jesus Christ in me. Today, you maybe want to make that decision. Today, maybe something's hitting you in your heart. You're saying, I think it's enough of death reigning in me. And I want to put that to death. I want to identify with Christ's death so I can know Christ's life in me. And if you want to make that decision today, you can be baptized. You can walk in baptism today. You can join us in there. There's going to be videos for those who have decided to do their video and get ready ahead of time. You won't have a video to tell your testimony, but you're going to share your testimony. And the biggest testimony that you can give us is the one that says, we're watching you get baptized, dunked in the water, identifying with Christ's death, and now living in his new life, in the new land that he gives you. And so if today you say, I haven't been baptized. I live in that new land. I put to death the old ways. Or I want to put to death the old ways now. I want to live in Jesus' life for me, not for my own pleasure, my own gain, which leads to death anymore, but in Christ's new way that leads to life. If today you say, that's me, and I want to do it, and I want to get baptized, and I'm ready to do that, then we want to help you do it. And you can do it today. You can be baptized today.